Good morning, everyone. Can y'all hear me okay? Wonderful. Thank you all again for having me back. It's so good to be with you this morning. I wanted to begin today with five quotes from some famous storytellers from now and from then, just that set the stage for why storytelling is an important part of who we are. From author Joan Didion, we tell ourselves stories in order to live. From director Robert Redford, storytellers broaden our minds. They engage, provoke, inspire, and ultimately connect us. From author Margaret Atwood, you're never going to kill storytelling because it's part of the human plan. We come with it. From author J.K. Rowling, no story lives unless someone wants to listen. The stories we love best do live in us forever. And from producer Walt Disney, that's what storytellers do. We restore order with imagination. We instill hope again and again and again. Would you pray with me? Wonderful God, who is the author of this world, we invite you to inhabit this space, inhabit our ears and our minds. God, I pray that in this storytelling moment, I am decreased and you are increased. May your story unfold for us this morning. We pray these things in your name. Amen. What is your favorite story? One that you've memorized from beginning to end. One that you just carry with you all the time. Maybe it's a book you've read over and over and over again, or a movie you've seen a million times. Maybe it's a story that you happened upon at a pivotal moment in your life, and it just fit with you in whatever you're going through. Or maybe you've heard it since the day you were born, and it's just now inside of you. You can't forget it. What's your favorite story? I want you to sit with that this morning. But if you're to ask me that question, you might think, because of my age, I might say something like Harry Potter. Do you have any Harry Potter fans? Anyone? There you go. That's right. This is an amazing story. It's a magic tale about good versus evil, about what happens when forgiveness and love conquer everything. If you haven't read it, where have you been? It's amazing, and you must read it. It's one of my favorite books, but it's not my favorite story. I do love this book, but it's not my favorite. Or maybe because of my name, you might think, you know, he probably likes this Green Eggs and Ham book. And this is a Dr. Seuss classic about this guy who tries to get this incredibly picky eater to eat a bunch of weird food in a bunch of weird places, like in a box with a fox, in a house with a mouse, on a boat with a goat, et cetera, et cetera. I love this book. This book, this actual physical book, was given to me a month after I was born. By my parents. They read it to me over and over and over again every single night. I love this story. It's not my favorite, but I love it. But no, my favorite story is, and I don't have the little golden book. I can't find it anywhere. I don't know where it went. But my favorite story is Dumbo. Have you seen Dumbo? Beautiful, beautiful movie. This is the story about a little boy elephant who is born different, and he gets bullied by everyone in his circus family. And it's not until he meets some friends who show him that the things that make him different make him magnificent. And he ends up showing them all who he is and what he's all about, and that he is finally proud to be who he is. At different points in my life, Dumbo has been a story that I come back to when I feel beaten down, when I felt homesick, when I didn't really know what I was capable of. That story has given me what I needed, and it's my favorite. I always come back to it. We love stories. Humanity loves stories. There's not a culture, a corner of the world that doesn't tell stories. Before I got into ministry, I think it says there in my bio, I was a theme park designer. It's a weird career transition, but bear with me for a second. I got to imagine and craft and create immersive experiences where people got to step into stories. And I can't tell you how much people love doing that. They love it. People love holding a lightsaber and pretending they're a Jedi. People love riding a boat into a flaming pirate cannonball battle. People love meeting and hugging a princess that, until that moment, was just a fairy tale that they saw on a screen or read about in a book. People love how stories make them feel, whether it's courageous or adventurous or magic. Stories build entirely new worlds that we couldn't even imagine going to, and yet we can through the power of a story. But they also help us understand our own world. They help us give meaning to our lives. They help form who we are and who we want to be, who we could be. Stories are vital to what it means to be human. And as one of our quotes said, we need stories in order to live. As we hear them over and over again, they become part of our identities, and we start to function and live in this world with stories, not alongside stories, but we're inside of different stories. One psychological theory says that the more and more we tell stories to each other and to ourselves, they start to literally like etch themselves on our brains. And our brain starts connecting itself in ways that fit the story. The more we hear them, the more they form us. Stories create in us the patterns we follow, the values that we hold dear, how we encounter the world, how we encounter one another, and even how we encounter ourselves. So it's not even just that we love stories. They're vital to us. We need stories. And that means that they hold tremendous power. And all those words after once upon a time, they really matter. They matter to us. Our scripture reading today, comes from the Gospel of John, and it starts with "In the beginning," which I like to think as the Bible version of once upon a time. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being." Now, I want to tweak this a little bit. I've always thought that the word "word," when we hear about it in church or scripture or wherever we are, it's a weird way to start the story because we don't talk like that. We don't say the word. We don't say that in normal everyday life. So how can we think about this beautiful introduction to this gospel in a way that might make a little bit more sense? Some theologians have translated this word to mean the wisdom and power of God. In the beginning was the wisdom and the power of God. Others have translated it the reason and the meaning of the cosmos. In the beginning was the meaning of the universe. My favorite way, one of my favorite ways to think about this word comes from the Catholic contemplative theologian Richard Rohr. And he says a better translation of this is the blueprint of reality. Something like God's divine plan for us. So in the beginning was the blueprint of reality, and the blueprint was God. I really like that. But today I want to take that word in another direction, a similar direction, but I want you to think of that word as story. In the beginning was the story of the universe, and the story was God. Like a blueprint, a story uses words to create the framework, the plan, the structure to all of its characters and settings. Like a blueprint, a story gives meaning and movement to a set of unconnected, unrelated elements. Like a blueprint, a story builds and it molds and it gives form. In the beginning, it all started with a story. That story, the Gospel of John says, created everything. From God's imagination came all of creation, all life, all light, and all love. All because God had a story God needed to tell. If we rewind scripture all the way back, we can see that play out a little bit in Genesis 1. God told a story to begin the universe. Let there be light. God says with God's words, let there be water, stars, birds, animals, humankind. God spoke into being a cast of characters and an amazing setting called creation, and God's story began. From the first page of Scripture, it is a story. It is words out of God's mouth that gives creation form and meaning and purpose. Who we are, where we are, this is God's story. And God calls it very, very good. Back in the Gospel of John, we learned that the divine essence and power and the innate goodness of the story is what Jesus himself fully embodies. The story made flesh. Jesus is God's story finally come to life and come to us. Jesus, in John, Jesus comes here to retell God's story, to show us God's story, to be God's story for us, and in his life to prove that nothing can ever destroy God's story. John tells us that Jesus is the story and the master storyteller himself. But John continues. The light, or the story, was in the world, and the world came into being through the story, but the world didn't recognize the story. The story came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. I wonder if John is pointing to a profound reality in our world. One of the creative gifts that God gave us when we were made in God's image was creativity. And that means that we can create and imagine all sorts of stories. And our world is filled with them. There are a lot of characters you can be. There are a lot of journeys you can take. There are a lot of realities you can live in. We live in a world where stories compete for our attention. Stories from our culture. Stories from our families. Stories from our friends. Stories from our media. Stories from our politics. And these stories bring into existence, just like God's story, entire real ways of being and feeling and existing in this world, for better and sometimes for worse. Like any story, the more and more we hear these stories, the more and more they get etched into our souls and they form who we are. And sometimes these stories pull us away from that singular story that God began for us. What do I mean by this? I mean stories that tell us we need to look a certain way to feel good about ourselves. Stories that tell us we need to strive for these impossible ideas of perfection that aren't real. Stories that tell us we need to buy and buy and buy things to find happiness in this world. Stories that tell us we should feel ashamed when life or relationships or finances don't turn out the way we expect them to. Stories that tell us that certain groups of people should be in and certain groups of people should be out. Stories that tell us what normal looks like, or stories that tell us you can't do this. This is just a taste of the stories that are real and exist, and there's a lot more. We tell them. Sometimes you don't mean to tell them, but we tell them, and we tell them to each other, and sometimes we start telling them to ourselves, and these narratives become part of who we are. Sometimes These stories are alluring. We get something from these stories. Sometimes it's power or pride or superiority. Sometimes they just help us make sense of a really confusing, hard-to-live-in world. Sometimes we just absorb them. They melt into us without even knowing. I think we've all had moments where we've lost sight of the story of our lives, of God's story for our lives. And it's into this story-filled space, a world that doesn't recognize the true story that Jesus shows up in. And Jesus shows up with a better story, a true story that says no matter who you are, no matter what you're going through, you are a part of God's family and you are enough. And this isn't the end of your story. Jesus is the author of new stories. And in his ministry, he rewrote the narratives of those who were alone, despised, cast out, broken, isolated, sick, and hurting. He rewrote their narratives and saw people where they were at. He suffered with them. He knew them, and he knew their stories. And in Jesus' own life, he showed us that nothing, not even death itself, can end a story. There's always more. There's always more to your story. The Gospel of John ends its story with these words. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. The stories about Jesus were endless. I love that John chooses to bookend this gospel with stories at the beginning and stories at the end. Because what I see there is that these early Christians couldn't stop telling stories. They couldn't stop talking about who this Jesus person was, about what he did, about what they felt. They couldn't stop telling the story. They were storytellers, telling everyone what they'd experienced. A story that broke through all of the others that had entangled themselves and burrowed themselves into their lives. This story had power. And this story still does. And that's where we come in, church. I think God calls us to be storytellers. That's one of the reasons that this place, this worship, this community is so important, because it's a place where we get to hear a story that is different from all the other stories we hear every single day. When we get lost in stories that don't bring us life, we need people to tell God's story. We need people to tell us the truth about who we are. We need people to tell us that no matter who you are and what you're dealing with, you are part of God's family and you are enough. Just because you're breathing, you're enough. And this isn't the end of your story. This is the story that began the universe. This is the story that Jesus came to tell us, to show us, to be for us. And this is the story that as a community we carry inside of us. And this is a story worth telling. So may we be a storytelling people. Amen.